Jaya Radha Madhava Kundali Hari. Jana Vala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vala Bhagiri Varadhari Vasura Nandana Braja Jana Rangana Vasoranandana Braja Jana Ranjana Damuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vala Bhagiri Varadhari Vasoranandana Braja Jana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gora Bhaktavinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Srinivasa Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya. Astotra Sata Shri Srimadis Divine Grace Sabai Charna Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming again in the rain. Is anybody here for the first time? Yes, welcome. Is this your first time overall in a Hare Krishna temple, or is this your first time in this Hare Krishna temple? Well, congratulations. We do recognize that that takes quite a lot of courage. So we're all vegetarians here, so you're not in any physical harm. Welcome. How did you find out about us? Yeah.
Yeah, 200
miles.
And we also go to
the senior
temple.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming. You are very welcome. This is the point in our program where there is a class, medium-length class, about the Bhagavad Gita, which, are you familiar with the Bhagavad Gita at all? Yeah, okay, so I won't go into an introductory spiel about the Bhagavad Gita, but we typically pick one verse and expound on it. And so today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2, the contents of the Gita summarized, text number 46. And since we're all mostly veterans here, we might as well do some call and response. Yavan artan udapane. Sarvata samplutodake. Tavan sarveshu vedeshu. Brahmanasya vijanata. Yavannartha udapane. Sarvata samplutodake. Avan sarveshu vedeshu. Brahmanasya vijanata. Translation: all purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karma Kanda division of the Vedic literatures are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15:7. The living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. Aho bata sva pacho togaryan yad jivagre vartate namatubhyam te pus tapaste juhuvu sashnor arya brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete. O my Lord, a person who is chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a chandala, a dog eater, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family. So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all of the Vedanta and Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge, and resources to execute the purposes of the Vedas. This is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic literature is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakashananda Sarasvati, why he, the Lord, was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool and thus asked him to chant the holy name of the Lord Krishna, of Lord Krishna. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of the Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. Om Angyana Tamirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unnaritamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobisham Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vanshakalpattarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadaha Srivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the contents of the Gita summarized, and of course we know in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna pretty much covers the entire contents of the Gita in a summary fashion, hence the title of the chapter. In this particular section of the summary, Lord Krishna is speaking about the Vedas and why and how we should actually rise above the words of the Vedas. In a few verses later, Krishna tells Arjuna that when you've realized the truth of the self, you will become indifferent to everything that has been said and everything that will be said. And so Krishna here is telling Arjuna actually to rise up above the import of the Vedas, to go beyond what the Vedas are telling us, and come to the platform of pure spiritual understanding. And I think this is significant in the modern Hare Krishna movement. In the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, nobody really knew what the Vedas were. The only Vedas that were available for the most part, in the Western world were the Vedas that Srila Prabhupada translated for us. And there was a real mood of transcendence, that something new had washed, not new, but something new to the shores of North America and Europe, something new to the West had arrived on our shores, and like a rising tide, it lifted everybody's consciousness up out of the modes of material nature and established us, or established a movement that was existing on the transcendental platform. And this had nothing to do with any material arrangement other than historical circumstances, one could say. What was Srila Prabhupada's material qualification for coming to the West and preaching? Really, his only material qualification was that he spoke English. And because he spoke English, his spiritual master told him he should preach the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English. He didn't. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati did not tell Srila Prabhupada that he should go to America and preach Krishna consciousness to all the hippies. He just told Srila Prabhupada that you should spread this message in English. As Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's own father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had attempted to do by sending some literatures into the West. So Srila Prabhupada came here on the order of his spiritual master with really nothing other than his books. He had no money. He had just a few rupees in his pocket when he set sail from India, and he couldn't convert those rupees into U.S. dollars when they weren't worth anything. And so he literally had no money. And I remember in my own life, there was a time when I set about traveling around America with no money. But I had a safety net to fall back on. I could eventually make my way back to my parents' house if I needed to. I was young and able-bodied. I could get a job if I needed to. And so that was a choice that I make. I didn't sail away from my homeland to a place I'd never been before. But Srila Prabhupada did all of that. He got on a boat in a faraway place and sailed halfway around the world to a land where he knew nobody and had nothing to fall back on. And he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that is amazing. That is really a miracle, actually. Nobody else did this. Despite Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati giving that same instruction to go preach this message in English to pretty much all of his tens of thousands of disciples that he had, only one of them was able to fulfill that instruction in a substantial way. And that's on the transcendental platform. Prabhupada, although he translated the Vedas, was well beyond the Vedas. He was giving pure love of God directly to anybody that would listen to him. And he was pleading for people to listen to him. You can hear this. I've only heard this in the tapes, but I think there's a tape of a welcome address that Srila Prabhupada gave in Atlanta sometime in the mid-70s, where he got out of the car. I don't know if this is on video, but it's definitely on an audio tape, where it seems like he got out of the car and he gave like not more than a five-minute lecture about chanting Hare Krishna and the mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. And at the end of the lecture, you can hear his voice. He's pleading with people to chant Hare Krishna to the point where he's like on the verge of tears. He had to like stop talking because he was about to, he was just begging. He himself was a beggar for the mercy of Krishna, and he was begging other people to become beggars for the holy name of Krishna. And that was the movement that Srila Prabhupada started. That was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which has nothing to do with time, place, circumstance, material qualification, material disqualification, or anything else that we might find in the material world. It's something that descended purely from the spiritual platform through the Guru Parampara and established itself firmly on the shores of the Western world. And it seems like now that was some bit of a long time ago. Many of you were around during that time, and you've all grown a little bit older in the intervening time, a little bit, just a little bit. Not that you look any older, it's just I know the time has passed. Thank you. Yeah. And what has happened in the meantime? The society has continued to grow and grow and grow and grow, and we attract more and more and more people. And the danger of becoming an established religion rather than a transcendental adventure is that we get lost in the words of the Vedas. And we see in the Hare Krishna movement nowadays, people are interested in so many different detailed aspects of the Vedas. Different types of yajnas, different types of performances of puja, astrology, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda. There are so many Vedas. There's so many Vedas. And this is all good knowledge. But what is the purpose of this knowledge? Well, at face value, the purpose of this knowledge is to help us navigate our way through the material world. This world is not a nice place. We have it kind of nice here in Alachua. I was talking with some devotees yesterday at our annual Christmas party that, I mean, even for places in rural America, and I've done quite a lot of traveling throughout America, and I've been in a lot of rural areas in America. Even amongst rural areas in America, Alachua, Florida is pretty nice. It's pretty nice. We have a beautiful park. We are free to practice our religion as we choose, any religion we like. There's not a lot of crime here. People are relatively safe. It's pretty clean. You know, it's pretty well run. And so we have a little bit of shelter here in this rural pocket of America. But I swear, as soon as you set foot outside of this county, things start to deteriorate pretty quickly. And then as soon as you get into a major city, it's just a hellish existence for everybody. And even the hellish cities in America have a veneer of beauty over them compared to many of the other hellish cities in the world, in developing nations or whatnot, or God forbid, in places that are now torn by war. And there are too many places in the world now that are torn by war. And so the world is not a nice place. And as Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, in the age of Kali, not only is the world not a nice place, but most of the people who live in the world are actually quite foolish. Right? They're quite foolish. They don't even know what's good for them on a pure, mundane basis. All you need to do to justify this is go into any grocery store anywhere in the United States and look at the cost of a box of Frosted Flakes versus the cost of anything that has nutritional content in it, like a banana, And so we live in a horribly misdirected society. And really the only shelter for the lives of the people in the horrible misdirected society is to come to a proper understanding of who they are and what are they doing in this world. And so the Vedic literatures are designed to give people some peace and comfort while navigating their way through the material world. So birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the problems that we suffer from. And the Vedas prescribe some methods by which we can try to find some sort of happiness while we're awaiting disease, old age, death, and birth again. But that's not really the purpose of the Vedas. And so people get lost in these purposes of the Vedas. And even we, as a society, we tend to get lost in the purpose of these. And then the original transcendental message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets lost behind rituals and side quests. You all know what a side quest is? Yeah, side quest is something we like to go on in my science classes. Yeah. And so we get lost and we get bewildered. And then we ourselves lose the transcendental impetus to try to come closer to Krishna. And we become absorbed really in mundane concerns, you know. And we need to take care of our mundane concerns. We obviously need to take care of our health. We need to take care of our family. If we're raising children, we definitely need to take care of our children. That is our number one job, is to take care of children, if that's, you know, the station of life that you're in. I will also say if you have grandchildren, I was, just as a little bit of a side quest here, I will mention that today is the disappearance day of Saranga Thakur Prabhu, who is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was talking with our local Saranga Thakur Prabhu just the other day, and I was telling him that it wasn't my parents that gave me a sense of religiosity or a sense of spirituality in my life. It was my grandparents. So my parents were too busy earning money to put food on my table and a roof over my head. But my grandparents, who had already been through all that, already raised children, it was really them who took me to the temple. Not the Hare Krishna temple, the synagogue, but whatever. Same thing. Similar thing. It was them who took me to go worship God according to their own culture. And so if you're grandparents, also you have a duty to pass this on to your grandchildren. But the point is we shouldn't lose sight of what the purpose of our own spiritual life is. And that is to serve Krishna with our body, mind, and words all the time. And how do we serve? What is the nature of that service? Even we tend to get bewildered by, well, there's this little service I can do over here. There's that little service I can do over there. I've got my little deities in my home that I can offer my prasadam for, offer some boga to. Maybe I can make a garland for the deities here in the temple. And this is all devotional service for sure. But is this really service, serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada's mission was a preaching mission. It was a preaching mission. And the word preaching, you know, it has a little bit of a pejorative connotation, I think, in the 21st century now. We hear often about like Christian preachers who like go out on the street and start yelling at everybody. And then we see that there are also Hare Krishna preachers that go out on the street and start yelling at everybody. We've taken a page out of their book. But what does it mean to preach Krishna consciousness? To preach Krishna consciousness means to give somebody else the gift of Krishna. And there is no greater gift you can give somebody than to reawaken their relationship with Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, we don't make devotees. You know, if you think you're making a devotee, this is an illusion. Everybody is a devotee. Every living entity in all of the material and spiritual universes is a devotee of Krishna. That is our constitutional position, is to be a servant of Krishna. It's just that most people, the foolish people in the age of Kali, they have forgotten. You know, they forgot that they were servants of Krishna. And so it is our job to remind them. It is our job to remind them. And how do we remind them? We remind them by having Krishna present in our own lives. There's no, I know that my, I talk about my karate teacher a lot here, who's a born-again Christian, and he's always trying to convert me using logic, reason, and argument from the Bible to become a Baptist Christian, which I promise you is never going to happen. But he's determined, he's preaching. And I told him one time that, you know, it's not philosophy, really, that causes people to have a religious epiphany or a religious conversion. In some cases, it is. I'm sure more than a few of us here have read Srila Prabhupada's books and something just clicked. Like, that's it. That's it. For me, it was the first verse in the Nectar of Instruction. I just read that verse and I knew immediately this, His Divine Grace, I couldn't pronounce the rest of his name at the time when I read the book, Swami Prabhuda, whatever. I knew immediately that this man knew what he was talking about. All those other spiritual people, mumbo jumbo, flowery words, those were the flowery words that Krishna is telling us to rise beyond. I don't need to go mentioning all kinds of other spiritual teachers here, but we all know who they are. I'll mention one. There was this guy, right before I met the devotees, I was reading books by this guy, Adi Da was his name, Love Ananda. I don't know who, and he wrote a book called The Knee of Listening. And I was trying to read this book, and I thought I was like so spiritual trying to read this book by Adi Da, Love Ananda, about the knee of listening. But the reality is, I did not understand anything this man was talking about. It's just like rambling sentences in English that make no sense is really what it was. And I remember I had this, after I joined, we went back to my apartment in Olympia, Washington to get the rest of my stuff, including that Nectar of Devotion that somebody had sold me maybe a half a year or 8 months before. And I had this book, The Knee of Listening, in the box, and one of the other brahmacharis who was in the temple started to criticize me very sharply for keeping this book by this nonsense person. I was so offended. Like, how could you criticize the Love Ananda Adi Da? But in reality, this person, I can't remember anything that was in the book, but none of it made any sense. But then I read Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Instruction, his translation of Rupa Goswami's book, and the first verse made perfect sense to me. And even though I didn't know that this book had anything to do with ISKCON or the Hare Krishnas at the time, I knew that I was going to do my best to practice what this person was teaching. You know, follow four regular principles, chant this mantra, you know, engage in loving exchanges with people, giving and receiving food, revealing your mind and confidence, allowing other people to reveal their mind and confidence, giving and exchanging gifts. I just knew that this is the right way to live my life. And so Krishna was kind of like pulling me in a little bit. But it's actually very rare that somebody has a religious conversion because of philosophy, right? People are not that philosophically minded to begin with. So what is it? What is it that brings us all to Krishna? People come to Krishna because they have an experience of Krishna. Krishna comes into their life in a meaningful and undeniable way. I heard this story. I think Hanumat Prasad Swami told me this story once when he was in California. There was a bhakta there. Bhakta John was his name. And Bhakta John was telling... Bhakta John was like a really simple guy. He was like a farmer, big guy, overalls, you know, hat. I don't know if he had a hat, but I'm sure he had a pair of overalls. And Hanumat Prasad Swami was relating this story to me, to us in a class. He asked this bhakta, how did he join? And the bhakta told him that he was driving his pickup truck down some country road in California late at night, and there were these lights that suddenly appeared in the sky, and he became quite nervous. He thought he was being like chased by a UFO or something. And so he started to drive faster and faster and faster, and the lights came in front of him, and he was like forced to stop the car, and he got out to see what was going on, and a being appeared before him, and he said, "John, my name is Krishna. You should go to your local library and find out more about me." And he did. He went to the local library and he said, "Hey, do you have any books about somebody named Krishna?" And the librarian went and got one. You remember the big gray, like the huge gray Krishna books that were, I think they were in two volumes? Yeah, two or three volumes. And they had one of these Krishna books in this really like off like rural library in Mendocino County, California. And Bhakta John became a devotee because Krishna appeared in his life. You know, and it's, you know, even if we smell the incense offered to Krishna, if we taste the prasadam offered to Krishna, if we engage in a loving exchange with a devotee, these are all things that touch our heart and bring us closer to Krishna. But the real thing that brings us closer to Krishna is his name. Is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the pursuit of our own spiritual lives, and I know that we're all working hard, sometimes struggling, sometimes not struggling, but endeavoring to the best of our ability to advance in our own spiritual lives, we should not lose sight of the fact that the real purpose of Srila Prabhupada's mission is to spread the holy name of Krishna to every town and village in the world. And so when we ask ourselves, what am I doing for Srila Prabhupada? We have to ask ourselves, what am I doing in the service of that mission? What have I done today to spread the holy name of the Lord into places where it's never gone before? And to places where it has gone before, what am I doing with my life to support people sustaining that? Right? So we can spread the holy name to every town and village, but if we ourselves are not living in every town and village, how do the people there who got the holy name sustain their own spiritual lives? Well, we have to follow the example of our own Acharya, who at the ripe old age of 70-something, 70, yeah, left his home to go open temples, to preaching centers around the world. And he would empower other people to go do the same thing. And I know now that seems like such a challenge. Like, where am I going to go open a temple, right? I have a list. I have a list of college towns in the United States of America that need a Hare Krishna temple, where there are no Hare Krishna temples that need a Hare Krishna temple. So if you were wondering, where should I go to open a Hare Krishna temple, just email me and I will send you the list and you can pick your town. If you like the Midwest, you can go to the Midwest. If you like New England, you can go to New England. If you like the Pacific Northwest, which I do, there's a few of them there that need Hare Krishna temples. And so now, having lived your lives in the service of the Lord, it's the time to really emulate what Srila Prabhupada did with his life and go out in the world and spread Krishna consciousness far and wide. Because if we don't do this, who is going to do this? I mean, we could say that, well, our kids might do this. But they are following our example. Right. We were also, last night at our holiday party, we were also discussing how for a long time in Hare Krishna festivals in North America, the kirtan was not really the centerpiece of the festival. There were seminars and talks, and of course everybody wants to come for the feast and all that stuff. But it's more of a recent thing, or a resurgent thing, let's say, in America, that the kirtan is why people are coming to the festival. And so the kirtan is why we're all here, right? Everything else is supporting the kirtan. And it is the mission of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada to spread the Maha Mantra everywhere. And this is what it means to rise up above the flowery words of the Vedas. We should not get lost in our own spiritual rituals. We all have our own spiritual rituals. I wake up at the same time every day, right? I do the same thing every day. You know, it's like I can set my clock to it. But we shouldn't let this become ritualistic. And it becomes ritualistic when we lose sight of what the goal is. So the goal is to chant Hare Krishna, and we can chant Hare Krishna by ourselves only so loudly. We want to invite as many people. We want to have huge kirtans, thousands upon thousands of people in our kirtans. And in order to do that, we need not only people to go out on the so-called front lines and spread the movement around, but of course we also need people to stay back, keep the temple clean, make sure the deities are attractive when people come, make sure the prasadam is consistently tasty, and all these things. But we're not making the prasadam consistently tasty so that we can feast on it. We're making the prasadam consistently tasty so that when people come to the temple, they will be attracted to a devotional lifestyle. It's not for our own sense gratification. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, one must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. We should not use our spiritual potency to further our own sense gratification. Then the whole thing is lost. We should use our spiritual potency to try to engage other people in the practice of Krishna consciousness and the practice of bhakti yoga. So all purposes served by a small well can be at once served by a great reservoir of water. So the small well in this verse are the totality of Vedic scriptures, which is like this huge body of knowledge. But the great reservoir are the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And if we come in contact with the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, then all of the purposes of the Vedas, all of our Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, you name it, all of the different Vedas, they're all contained within Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much. I'll stop a little short there and open the floor up for discussion or questions or comments, complaints, criticisms, donations. Mother Sukhada.
I was just thinking.
I can repeat it in the microphone. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I was just thinking that one thing that in terms of, you know, making prasadam tasty, it's mainly to please Krishna, right?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it tasty, is that love and devotion that goes into it. Also, I want to mention, in terms of kirtan, like Prabhupada, I just heard this recently, how Prabhupada, when he first came, you know, he was doing the classes, a few people coming, but it's when he, in Tompkins Square Park, he sat down and started kirtan. That's when it took off. So really, kirtan has been maybe the biggest part of Krishna consciousness. Although, when I was in Hawaii and Prabhupada came, he also said to the devotees, "You have all come to me because of prasadam." He said, even you, Abhiram, who was a temple president, right?
Yeah.
So, all of that. And I was also thinking, because you mentioned the word preaching and how, you know, it's a little bit of a negative connotation. So do you think maybe a better word would be, let's say, sharing?
I prefer the word sharing, yes.
Yes. Because I was thinking that we're not just sharing a philosophy, that we're sharing lifestyle and we're sharing behavior. We're giving of ourselves and the way we live. And I think that's the biggest benefit of all, really, is that personal connection with people, because there's so many philosophies.
Yeah, and this was one of the, you know, this is one of the questions that the sages in Vaimisharanya asked Sutta Goswami also. It's like, what is the essence of all of these scriptures? You know, and there's so many scriptures, not just Vedic scriptures, but so many scriptures in the world. What is the essence of them? And in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that this is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of human society. And we sometimes take cultural presentation to mean like, you know, there's a culture of Indian-themed prasadam, we could say. There's a culture of dress. There's even a culture of language that we use. In fact, sociologists of religion will say that one of the sure signs that you are in a cult is that you have your own language. Like, there's a lingo associated with your cult that only people in your cult speak. And so we've mistaken cultural presentation to be many of these things. In fact, the cultural presentation that Srila Prabhupada was talking about is the culture of service, is the culture that I am not the Lord here. I'm not in this world to enjoy. I'm not the enjoyer, and I'm also not the controller. We hear this from kids all the time. They get bored, right? This is so boring. Or a lot of times the kids come in, they sit down for class, and they go, Dr. Banks, are we going to do something fun today? And I sometimes feel a need to remind them that, you know, you are actually not in this world to have a good time. Having a good time is not what this world is all about. We are here to teach you tools that you might be able to get yourself out of this world so you can have a good time. So the culture that Srila Prabhupada was talking about when he was talking about the re-spiritualization of human society is the culture of service. I am nobody's master and I am everybody's servant. And the only really the only person who is really worthy of my service, the only person who's always going to be thankful, always going to be appreciative, never going to find fault or overlook the faults, let's say, who's never going to leave me, who's always going to be my best friend, that's Krishna. There's nobody else here who's worthy of my eternal service other than Krishna. So this is the culture we want to awaken. And Prabhupada writes here in this purport that it doesn't matter what your birth is. You know, anybody can take part in this. And by chanting Hare Krishna, one automatically comes to the platform of pure transcendental life. So, thank you. Any other? Yes? Hare Krishna.
I was sitting in my car listening. And then when you told that story about John and the lights, it reminded me of one of my favorite stories that I wanted to share. Some of you know Kaishori. She used to live here, but she's originally from Canada. So she told me that when she was a bhaktin traveling around Canada on book distribution, there are long distances from one town with a gas station to another, and she and her partner were running out of gas. And it was like 10 o'clock at night. They came to one light. There were like two houses, a farmhouse, and there was a gas pump behind the farmhouse, so they pulled around. Maybe it wasn't 10 o'clock at night, but it was a farmhouse with a gas pump. So they pulled around to the gas pump, and a man came out and said, "You need some gas?" And they said, "Yes." And so he was filling the gas, and those were the days where they tried to save money as far as possible. They were trying to trade him a book for the gas. So they pulled out a book, were showing him the pictures, and meanwhile, his wife stuck her head out the upstairs window. And then when they showed him Prabhupada's picture, he looks up at his wife and goes, "Mabel, Mabel, this is the man I've been dreaming about."
Oh, wow. Wow. Fantastic.
Makes his presence.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story. When I was, one summer, I was traveling on the Warped Tour doing Sankirtan. We had backstage passes, and we were late for the show one morning, and we were speeding very aggressively through Kansas. We were going like, I don't want to say how much because there are minors in the room. Don't want to give them any ideas. But we were going very fast through Kansas early in the morning, and we got pulled over by the police. And I was riding shotgun, and the driver was the leader, the van leader. It was his van, Atmani Vedna Prabhu, maybe you know him. And he rolled down the window, and before the cop could say anything, he had a Bhagavad Gita in the cop's hand and was like giving him the whole Shashashtakam. He was just like preaching, like, "We're Hare Krishnas, you can't hold us up, we're on a mission, we've got to get to the concert, there are thousands of people who need these books." And the cop is just like, who are these people? He's like, "What?" And he's like, "Who are you people again?" And Atma got like really like, pretended to get really frustrated with the police officer. He's like, "Oh, we're the Hare Krishnas, for God's sakes." And he's like, "Oh, the Hare Krishnas, okay, hold on one second." And he went back to the car, and we thought we're about to get like a $500 ticket here or something. Like, this guy's not buying any of it. And he came back And he said, I can appreciate what you guys are doing. Please don't speed through Kansas anymore. And he gave us a warning and he let us go. So this is just like the faith in the Holy Name. On the same trip, this is just another example of the faith in the Holy Name. We had a day off and we went into this New Age bookstore. I don't know why, but he wanted to buy a bunch of like crystals for healing. And before I became a devotee, I used to work as a crystal healer in a New Age bookstore. So there's some fun facts about me. And so I was helping him pick up all these crystals, and he picked out like $250 worth of crystals, and I'm like, this is nonsense, right? And we got up to the register, and the woman rang it up, and she said, all right, I forgot exactly how much. She said, this is about $250. And Atmanivedana Prabhu just looked at her, and he like paused for a moment, like left like a pregnant pause in the conversation, and then he said, you mean you're not going to give us the Hare Krishna discount? And the woman was like, what are you talking about? And he just said, the Hare Krishna discount. Everybody's giving us the Hare Krishna discount. And she went, oh, okay. And she sold it to him the stuff for 50% off. And so I was just like blown away. Like, that is the power of faith in the Holy Name. Yeah, we're just going to depend on Krishna. And there it is. So sometimes devotional life can be troublesome, and it can be a toil and a hardship and a struggle, and it's austere. But there's no loss with Krishna. Krishna sees every little minute step that we try to take back to him, and he will come running for us if we even try to go towards him. So we should cultivate our faith in the Holy Name by sharing the Holy Name with as many people as we can. Jai. All right. Any last points? Anybody else? All right. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Let's take